Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living in the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today we have a return guest. I really enjoyed our conversation last time she was on. We're going to speak with Ms. Shannon Cutts. We spoke about the connection and the language of love, really, between humans and their animal companions. And we didn't get a chance to talk about energy healing and specifically something called Reiki. I know that humans do this, and because our animal friends are really pure love and pure energy, I wanted to have her come back and talk about how that modality affects our pets. Ms. Cutts is an intuitive animal communicator and educator and Reiki master practitioner with animal love languages. She works through the universal love language of all species, deep listening, to connect with her pet clients. Deep listening activates empathy, allowing Shannon to literally feel what an animal is feeling, listening into their thoughts, experience what they are experiencing, and then relay all that information to the pet parent or animal guardian. If you want to schedule a session with her, you can go to animallovelanguages.com. And Ms. Cutts, again, thank you so much for your time, because I really appreciate what you do, and I loved our last conversation, so I wanted to expound.
Thank you so much for the invitation. It's so lovely to hear your voice again and connect with your community.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. Now, I don't know if many people know what Reiki is. I've personally tried Qigong. I think I've done Reiki in the past, but I wanted to start off with that baseline so people understand the foundations of this. What is Reiki?
You know, it's such a good question. I was on Canva the other day, that the mega design app that's just so super useful, and I found some of the Reiki symbols on there. And so there's so much about Reiki that has entered the general lexicon, the common shared knowledge, that we kind of bat back and forth, but most of us don't really understand exactly what it is and how it works and what it does. And so this is an amazing question. The word Reiki is actually two words put together. It's R-E-I, which is the first word, and then K-I, key. And when you put them together, they basically translate to mean universal life force energy. So if you can envision it like you are taking your personal electrical cord and you're plugging it back into the master socket where all energy flows from, all life force energy flows from. And so the energy itself was discovered by Mikayo Yusui in the 1920s in Japan. And he basically kind of had a breakdown before a breakthrough moment in his life. And this healing energy source was revealed to him, and it works in through attunement. And so what happens is that it's passed on really similarly to how traditions were handed down from like a master shaman to a student. It's through a series of energetic attunements tied to specific symbols. And these symbols can vary from one Reiki tradition to another. As with so many energetic healing techniques, now there are different schools of Reiki. There are different, what we call lineages of Reiki. My lineage is the Yusui Reiki lineage. And so the symbols that I work with are originated with Mikayo Yusui. And there's no, it's like if you encounter a practitioner who works with a different lineage, it's not an issue of better or worse or more or less advantageous. It's really just understanding that you want to feel a connection with the practitioner you're working with. You want to check out their certifications and make sure that, you know, and check out their client testimonials, and then just see what feels right inside your own gut. Reiki is always used for the highest good. It's It's beneficial on multiple levels and for many, many different kinds of situations. Personally, here at home, I open up Reiki channel every morning and every evening so that anyone in my family of any species who would like the energy can benefit. And so I hope that wasn't too detailed. There's growing interest in the scientific community about, and specifically in the pet community as well, in the animal and veterinary medical and alternative medical community, the holistic medical communities, about how Reiki can serve as a non-invasive, what they call benign complement and aid to other forms of medical and veterinary care. So it's kind of traveling the path that acupuncture had to go down. At first, when you talk about, you know, back even 10 or 20 years ago, you'd say, I'm going to acupuncture. Everybody's like, oh my God, she's into all that woo-woo stuff. And now there are many medical insurers that actually cover acupuncture. And acupuncture is a recognized pain reliever for pre and post-surgical care and all kinds of applications. So we're kind of looking at the same sort of setup for Reiki, where slowly but surely, it's making its way into the mainstream. Does all that make sense? Do you have any questions? Do you feel like your listeners might appreciate more information about one or another point that I just made? Or how does that land with you?
Well, it lands with me from an energy standpoint, knowing that the body is an energetic, each cell is a ball of energy, right? The mitochondria create the energy. And it seems to me that a lot of disease states thwarts that, whether it's emotional illness or physical, somehow it saps that battery, right? So if you you describe, you know, we're all sitting in an earth, right? Where we're all experiencing, we're all grounded in the same way, right? The same energy environment. Whether we can tap into it just seems like such a big global universal power that you just described, that if people are able to let go of whatever's holding them back, they could tap into this and they could re-energize themselves and pull what they need. Is that a way to see it?
Absolutely. And the Reiki can also, Reiki energy can also play a part in helping and supporting us to let go of some of those old patterns and old tendencies and old habits that, you know, often we find ourselves wrestling with something and we're like, I really want to let go of this, but I don't really have any frame of reference for me in my own life without it. So it's really difficult for me to let it drop. I'm almost afraid of the unknown of who will I be without this, whether it's an eating habit or a substance use habit or pattern of thought that is kind of routinely destructive, or, you know, trauma that's been re-triggered again and again and again. And so the Reiki energy can support that human or that animal to gently move into a state of higher vibration and find the courage to let's just play and see what might my day feel like if I didn't do that thing or engage in that thought pattern today. Does that make sense?
It does. And just to segue from that, when you think about being able to have the courage and the, I don't know, the ability to let go, when you describe Reiki, it seems to me this is because you're guiding somebody. And I don't mean to put it this way, but as opposed to going to a therapist where you're speaking, this seems to be more of it's brought out of you. You don't necessarily have to speak. It's a modality that's done, correct?
I want to just stop for a moment, and I'm realizing there may be many in your community or maybe at least a handful who have never experienced a Reiki, what we call a Reiki session. Mm-hmm. And so I want to just stop for a minute and explain what that can look like.
Okay.
So, you know, I tend to be kind of a visual learner. So it's like, if I can't picture it in my mind, I have no freaking idea what we're talking about. So and I'll preface this by saying, even though I am a Reiki master, which just basically means I've had a certain series of attunements, of energetic attunements from a practicing master who was also a teacher. Even though I came into this with the intention to practice Reiki, to offer Reiki to animals, it was actually my own father's passage through hospice and his end of life 2 years ago that prompted me. At first, I wanted to help him with his transition. And so what I would do, my father, at first, he was still able to communicate with us. And so I would just come in, and because he was extremely sensitive to touch, I would just sit about 12 feet away from him and activate the symbols and ask, and just ask Reiki, please flow. And so in this particular, if you can kind of picture, my father is laying down, you can sit, you can lay down, you can even go about your day if your schedule doesn't permit you, although it's much nicer to take a little chunk of time and just relax and maybe let your mind float. But my father was in his bed, and I was seated about 12 feet away, and just sitting very calmly. I like to close my eyes, and I just activate the symbols, which is part of the attunement process that you learn when you go through Reiki 1, 2, and 3. And then I just say, Reiki, please flow. And I set the intention that it's for his highest and best good. And that is my entire involvement in the process. In fact, I'm doing it right now as I'm talking with you. I'm just seated. I like to sit in a cross-legged or just in a chair with my feet on the floor and just feeling grounded to the earth. I just allow my breathing to become calm, and I set the intention for the highest and best good, Reiki, please flow. And then I allow whatever comes through. It's not about forcing. It's not about directing. It's not about guiding even. It's definitely not about imposing. You know, I'm, especially as a daughter, I'm like, Reiki, please make him better. That's mm-hmm. not where a practitioner typically comes from. We come from, please support this individual, this ball of light, this spirit soul, for their highest and best good, recognizing that this is a very pure, very high energy and knows much better than my small self what this other being truly needs. And so what that can look like, and my own Reiki master also does what she calls Reiki coaching. Well, that's quite different. That's where she invites the Reiki to offer specific guidance, both energetically and in the form of words and inspired insights that are shareable. And maybe those focus on more specific issues. And I've done some of that with her, and it's really interesting. But primarily, Reiki was designed to allow this high pure energy to serve through someone who is simply opening up their being, their soul being, to act as a channel for the energy itself to do whatever is in that individual's highest and best interest. So my goal is to not interfere in any way, to the best of my ability, with this energy's ability to simply flow through me and do good. Does that make sense?
It does. And from that standpoint, once you're synced, for lack of a way to put it, with somebody, and mm-hmm. there's this channel that's opened, I mean, to me, the body itself is so, it's amazing. It can self-heal. It can rebalance. Is this something that allows the person from, it kind of gets them out of their own way so that mm-hmm. the channel can open freely without someone trying, like you just described, trying to control or I can't let go of something because it gives me comfort or it gives me my sense of myself. It's kind of hard. I mean, everybody's so stuck these days with whatever makes them feel that they're important or gives them their ego driven or all these things. It sounds to me this is outside of that. And if people can, like you just said, just kind of float, everything just centers.
Yeah, so one of the, I can really relate to that. And I would say, kind of a little PS to you, because you just really hit the nail on the head with, you know, the growing pains that our species is going through in this day and age, is I'd say there's also such a heightened awareness. It's like, yeah, we're stuck and we're really, really aware of it. And that's the part that really sucks. It's like, dang, that old Matrix movie that, you know, we've really struck a chord in us. I'm awake now. I can't go back to sleep, but, you know, sometimes I wish I could. And yet here I am in this uncomfortable place. And so I want, you know, if my intention is to keep waking up. And so that's where, you know, the Reiki practitioner, like I can open myself up. I can become, you know, kind of fade into a non-interference mode, or, you know, just kind of make myself a little bit invisible so that the energy can simply do its good work. On the other end, it's like Don Miguel Ruiz talks about, don't take it personally. You know, some people are just not going to get it. Some people, it, you know, can be a subtle energy. Animals never seem to have any trouble detecting it. Some humans can, depending on their background and their habitual thought patterns and that impatience. It's like, well, I started my diet yesterday and I really expect results today, and we can just get into that rut. And so there is a lot to be said for viewing a Reiki session as a partnership, where when you, and that's why I'm such a big fan of setting intentions. It's like, okay, you came to me for a reason. You know, you feel drawn, and you don't have to know why. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to be, oh, it was for this and because of that thing on your website or whatever, or some friend told me, but you feel drawn to this, and you, and there's probably underneath that, the feeling or the intuition that maybe this might do you some good. And so it can be helpful as the recipient to think, well, what is my intention? Okay, my Reiki master, one of the amazing things she's done is she's helped many people through cancer treatment. And so their intention might come to her and say, well, my intention is I want to be able to tolerate the medicines more easily, or I want to shrink the tumor. So it's like whatever, or I want to let go of grabbing onto my small sense of an outcome and allow maybe something even better to come out of this, or whatever. I want to help be less stressed, and my family members will be less stressed. So we come into it with our own intention and then let go of that. So we set the intention and then let go of this and ask for the highest and best good of all. And you know, we can prepare to be pleasantly surprised or miraculously surprised, depending on how open we are. The Reiki is often described as very soothing, very calming. I've done a lot of Reiki with my mom. You and I were chatting about her hip surgery that she just went through, and she also has had a number of other medical issues. And so I've offered Reiki to her on several occasions. Our dachshund has also been going through a number of different both physical and emotional issues. And he is the most ardent Reiki devotee I've ever seen. Like, all I have to do is sit down in my little cross-legged position that I do, and he is just pressed up against me. He'll roll over. He's just, you know, everybody responds differently, but he is just, he's in love with the energy, and you can just see it. And so he's really, really open. And my mom usually describes it as she's just really calm. And sometimes she is able to fall asleep much more easily after we've done a Reiki session. A lot of times she'll fall into a sleep. Sometimes she sees colors or lights. Sometimes as the practitioner, I may see colors or lights, or I may get information. Mm-hmm. And that's because receiving that information that is then shareable with that other person or that animal's person, that is part of the highest and best good. Yeah. So, you know, that, so it really, for me, it's like, yeah, I'm not going into a session going, well, I hope I get something really juicy so the person who's receiving the Reiki energy through me believes in it or gets better. You know, I might not get anything. I might, you know, it's about allowing the Reiki to serve in the way that's most needed and most beneficial, whether that includes any lights or any visions or, mm-hmm. And I have gotten all of those. I've had some really miraculous experiences with Reiki, especially with my dad, but it's just because I feel like those experiences were because that's what served in that situation. That's what was needed in that situation. I, it might, it, you know, it, might never happen again. But I'm really open, and I've kind of just, and that's part of the training. It's just being really open. And now some of the people listening today might be wondering, well, you described sitting 12 feet away from the person. Is it possible to do it at a distance? The answer is yes. Some people listening may have some familiarity or may have had Reiki done. When I was living in India, I had Reiki done, and she actually did a hands-on approach, which is taught in the Usuli lineage that I come from. There's a series of hand positions that can be used where we place them either on the body or just hover them over an area of the body. I began practicing just prior to the pandemic. So the bulk of my practice, other than some of the humans and the animals that I know here in my hometown and here in Houston, Texas, most of my practice has been distance Reiki. And I am happy to report that it's not necessary to be in the same room, and it's not necessary to use the hand positions in order for the recipient to receive all the benefits that are available. So I just want to set your listeners' minds at ease about that. It's those hand positions and the physical contact. Some states make it easier and some states make it less easy to offer those types of sessions. Mm-hmm. And some recipients can be more or less comfortable with things like hands-on healing. Many animals are really not comfortable with that. You just try to get in a room with a cat and do the traditional hand positions and see how far you get. Or a parrot or a reptile or even some dogs, although many dogs do love the hands-on approach. But there you have to be kind of careful that the dog doesn't misunderstand and think this is just unusually happy playtime. You know, or I'm going to get pets and cuddles versus this is a healing or a wellness session. Reiki is often held out as it's a healing energy, and it can be very healing. It can also be, and that's really more of like an interventionist approach. If we take more of a preventionist approach, it can also be just really wellness enhancing. Like there's never a reason not to have Reiki, in my opinion. So, you know, I feel like in our culture, we are kind of moving, we're in this really interventionist thing, like what you were talking about, that stuck place. Mm-hmm. We're really in the interventionist mindset. There's a lot of power. There's a lot of money. And there's a lot of kind of widespread advertising and the bad habits that have surrounded that, that are fueling this persistent interventionist mindset. It feels like we are slowly attempting to shift the machine, to turn the tank around and take a look at, what would life be like if we took a little bit more of a preventionist approach?
Let's take our first break, because I want to ask, I think that I see a corollary with the power that you just described. So let's take our first break. You're living in the solution.
That sounds good.
Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Ms. Shannon Cutts. And before the break, you did just a masterful job of really giving us the power of Reiki. And one of the things we talked about was interventionist versus letting things be. What strikes me about Reiki is that the person or the person having it done is given so much more power than the interventionist approach. I mean, people walk into a doctor's office, they're given a prescription, they're basically passive. This is not the same thing. It's being present, isn't it? It's being, you're taking the power in terms of how you approach things, and you're empowering yourself to let go and let be, basically. That's a different mindset completely, because it means faith. You're jumping out on faith. You're depending on yourself. You are looking for your highest good actively, as opposed to somebody giving you a pill or doing a procedure on you. This is all energetically coming from you, is it not?
Well, it's so interesting. This is such a great point to make, and it's such a needed perspective, because we have a lot of A or B, good or bad, true or false, right or wrong. There's this constant tug of war between two perspectives, and there's another perspective. And I've been a huge fan of this for as long as I can remember. Every time I'm between a rock and a hard place, I'm looking for the valley in between them. I'm looking for the less well-traveled path, the hidden secret door, the option C. And what we have here is option C. We're not throwing out either Western medical interventionist approach or poo-pooing the softer side, you know, or what we call holistic or, you know, preventative approach to wellness, to healing and wellness. We're saying, how can we work together? And how can we leverage the combined benefits? You know, many people do encounter Reiki when they're in a period of they need healing. There's something broke and they're trying to fix it. And it may lead them down a path where they're able to then, you know, build up such a wellspring of health and vitality that they sidestep future issues that may otherwise have unfolded for them. But a lot of us come to Reiki. I mean, I was first attuned in my early 20s. And kind of forgot about it for many years. And I just, you know, it was at a time period where I was really ill. I had an eating disorder at that time and I just didn't really quite get it. So I was really steeped in the interventionist kind of the way. But, you know, I see it in religion. I see it in politics. I see it in our approach to trying to save and heal the planet. There's a place for everyone, everyone's gifts, everyone's skill sets, and all of the wonderful inventions that have that human ingenuity have brought to the table. There's lots of different things that we can use. Sometimes a pill is necessary. Sometimes a surgery is necessary. And unfortunately, because of how expensive it is to fix our problems these days, a lot of times people find that everything they have has to go towards the pill or the surgery or the medicine or whatever it is. And they don't have a lot left over for these holistic approaches. But one thing I do love about Reiki is that there's a kind of a credo or just a mindset in the Reiki tradition of making sure that everybody who really needs it can receive it. Many practitioners will do donation days or free Reiki sessions, or they'll volunteer their time with certain organizations to offer Reiki. Certainly will offer Reiki free of charge to friends and family and those in their community to make sure that cost isn't an impassable barrier to receiving it. And, you know, there is a real proactive attitude towards people. I mean, coming from people who seek out Reiki in addition to all these other things, because, you know, they may know, okay, I need this, I need that. I don't want anyone in your listening audience to think, oh my goodness, I keep going to the doctor, I should have been doing this instead. It's really not about that. You know, there have been miracles reported with Reiki healing energy sessions and wellness sessions, but having that expectation, well, I shouldn't have done chemo, I should just go to the Reiki practitioner instead. Again, we don't want to go there. Do all the things that feel right to you, and recognize that there can be benefits on multiple levels. Here's an example. Let's say, you know, maybe the treatment, the medical interventionist treatment is helping, but it's causing some side effects, or it's just leaving you feeling, you know, often some of these physical interventions can leave us mentally or emotionally really like kind of, I'm picturing a tangle of wires right now, like me trying to unravel my earbuds right before you and I got on the phone together. And, you know, that necklace that you want to wear and you can't get it unraveled. And So Reiki can help with that. And it's like, if we can ease our path mentally and emotionally, that gives our body more strength and energy to make use of the medicine, to make use of the therapy, to heal back together after the surgery. So it's like, there's always more benefit to be harnessed. And I just feel like these tools and these treatments work best in combination with one another. We're not in two separate camps. We really need to come together. And I feel like that, you know, unfortunately that sort of attitude doesn't seem really popular in the advertising and the market, the free commerce, you know, competitive marketplace. It's like, oh, it's either my treatment or your treatment. It's like, no, right. Let's do it all.
No,
like, leave no stone unturned.
You're describing complementary medicine at its essence, what it should be.
Absolutely.
And I think it can expound, you know, through society. There is no better person or not. There is no right bigger group than the other. We're all necessary. It's the diversity, not in the political sense, but in actuality, in the real sense of we're all different, but together we're stronger. Just like on the healthcare side, if we can get out of the way of who's better than who's been trained more than the other. I mean, we can all learn from each other, and each patient, each individual has a resonance, has something that makes their vibration sing, for lack of a better way to put it. We all need to figure out how to get there, and it's not one size fits all. That's really my major complaint about our healthcare system. It is really driven by, there's one way to do it, and that's the only way, and everybody else is wrong. That's just not the way it should be. And what you're telling me, and what I feel from you, is that patients need to take their power back, right? So if you feel like you want to do a complementary approach in addition to a Western approach, then you should do it. And if your physician or whoever try to talk you out of it, move on. Find somebody else.
Or because so many of us today are tied to specific healthcare systems, you know, the insurance industry really does place some obstacles in our path in terms of how we are able to access care. It's like sometimes, because I see this all the time, even in veterinary medicine, many of my animal communication clients, they're animals. They need a fresh food diet, and their veterinarian is prescribing a dry food or kibble, and really a big proponent of that. And there's a whole deeper layers of financial considerations that come into play there, and how they keep their practice alive. And so I say, just don't mention it. You don't have to leave your doctor, especially if your insurance is tied to that doctor or to that healthcare system. Just don't mention it. They don't need to know, and they don't need to know. And that's okay, because this individual can be a very fine physician, but just not have any life experience with any kind of alternative or healing or holistic or complementary practitioners. And so they kind of are like, well, the data isn't there. And that's just their mindset. And that's okay. They don't need to know everything about how you're approaching your own healing and your own wellness path.
You know, so, I would actually make a corollary to that. As a purist, I wouldn't want to be in someone's practice who wasn't able to think outside the box and work with me. That's me personally. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side of it, listen to your voice. I think you're empowering people to, if I find a better way, I'm going to do my research. Maybe you can educate your doctor and give them the research. I don't know if they'll read it, but at least you can try to open their minds. But you're absolutely right. Do your own research. If you figure what's good enough for you, that you've actually spent the time, don't let anybody talk you out of it. Don't try to sublimate yourself so that you can be part of the whole if it's going to not work for you. If everybody would do that, I don't think we'd be in the situation that we find ourselves in everywhere.
Well, I completely agree with you. And it's like, you know, one of my clients was talking to me about how, you know, she lives in kind of a rural area, and there are not veterinarians to choose from. There's veterinarian. And so, you know, are you not you know, there just isn't the option to walk away. It's like, well, okay, we don't see eye to eye on the fact that I also want to, I want my animal to have the option of having Reiki sessions, or I want my animal to have a fresh food diet. But that doesn't mean that that veterinarian still doesn't have a lot to offer in terms of, I mean, if the animal breaks a leg or, you know, has a skin rash or there's something else, it's like, it's really nice to have that option to go to that veterinarian, especially if they're the only one in your town. Or like I have, you know, an individual self-employed healthcare plan, and there are some limitations in terms of who I can see and even how many doctors will accept my healthcare plan. You know, am I going to throw out all the benefits that I can get from a Western medical doctor, even if they don't agree with everything I'm doing when I'm not in their office getting treated for that thing I need help with right now, right here and now? That doesn't matter to me. So yes, it is definitely a message of empowerment and about tuning in. You know, when I teach animal communication, we start with the breath and we start with tuning in to feeling, not thinking, but feeling our way through the early stages of relearning how to communicate with all of life. And that includes with ourselves. You know, a lot of us really don't communicate very well within, with ourselves. We think so hard that we kind of forget to check in with what we feel. And yet those tendencies are all there. It's like the same thing is going to draw you to Reiki that drew you to pick your pet, or drew you into a profession you feel passionate about, or drew you to a specific part of town to live in, or drew you to whatever your favorite color is. It's about having a vibe or just feeling a connection. And it's not easy to put into words. I love to use the example of aha moments or vibes or hunches or things that your mind can't talk you out of knowing. It's like, I just know that I know that I know. Yeah. That this is something I need to pursue. And it's like, so when we start tuning in to those inner nudges and hunches and feelings, which, you know, if you're listening to this right now and you're like, yeah, I can relate to the word vibes. I've had good vibes from somebody. I've had bad vibes from somebody. Notice where your hands go on your body. Like, notice where you feel that. Think about somebody that gave you the heebie-jeebies, you know? And where did you feel that in your body? Like, where was the ick feeling? You know, when you can feel somebody staring at you, even though your back is turned, like, where do you feel their eyes boring? Is it behind your head? Is it in the middle of your back? Is it around your waist? Like, we have these feelings and these sensations. So it's like, if you're just drawn to Reiki, you're like, that is the most beautiful word I've ever heard. I love that. I don't know what universal life force energy means, but it sounds good to me. Bring it on. I'll have some. That's enough. Like, you don't have to overthink it. In fact, don't. Go with your feelings. And that's where the empowerment comes from. You know, when we start to deal our feelings back in as an inner GPS system that is absolutely not going to lead us astray. This is not like Siri recalculating. Feelings are feelings are feelings. That gut sensation, that vibe, like, I just have a good feeling about this. It's like, okay, go with that. And that's where the empowerment comes from.
I agree. And it's from inside, not from outside, from all the stimulation that we're getting. And it's, the stimulation is usually negative. And it usually makes people feel bad about themselves. I find that's basically the main energy source. It's, you're inadequate. Therefore, you need to do something, or you need to say something, or you need to be part of a group that may not jibe with you. Maybe that's another reason that people are going so energetically off track, is that it doesn't align with them most of the time. But because they want to socially fit in, or they think that's the common, you know, what's being said to them should be how they should feel and be, and it's not an alignment. That seems to be an energy kind of thing that sets people on a wrong path. And I think that's to disease and not being centered and not being happy.
Well, there's a lot. There's a lot in what you just said there. There's a ton. And a lot of it has to do with just, you know, taking our kind of the flow of our day back, many moons ago, when I was still in college studying marketing and advertising, I encountered the root of my eating disorder. And that's when I began to heal, because one of my very first upper level classes was kind of deconstructing how advertising works and taking a look at one ad, one best-selling ad after another, and looking at the messaging and looking at the marketing, which is where I became such a proponent of mentoring, because the mass media, the mainstream marketplace is a mentor to us, can be a mentor to us. If we haven't taken the time to choose a mentor to say, okay, this is the person that I'm going to, you know, kind of model myself after, this is the quality of life I want to live, then what we're left with is screaming advertisements. I mean, even if you're listening to the radio or to some streaming service, when the ads come on, they're like 20% louder than the music you've been listening to. And like, they're designed to just kind of take you over, like even provoke kind of this fight, flight, freeze, tender, befriend, sensory overloads. You're just like, okay, give it to me. I'll buy it. You know, just stop screaming at me. And you know, the whole premise is there's something wrong with you. Sorry to deliver the bad news, but the good news is here's what can help and you can fix it right now. And so it's like, oh shoot, you know, I need to fix this problem that I didn't know I had until just a minute ago. Here, take my wallet, you know? And it's like, and so it's like, if we don't start to just take a very brief step back and go, this doesn't make me feel good. I just don't feel right about it. It's like, I just feel icky all of a sudden. That's all you need. It's like, I just mute the ads. I mean, just, or buy the extra membership where the service where it's ad free, or just give yourself a little breather. Like, we don't have to just take our life and tear it all down and start over. It's just like finding ways to give yourself a little breather. So instead of that screaming problem solution mentality, you have a moment of stillness, you have a moment of silence. And then in those first rocky days and weeks when you're trying to kind of deconstruct a habit that no longer serves you and, you know, build something into your life, make space, you know, before we can add something that is desired in our life, we have to take a little space for it, you know? And so the Reiki can support that. It's even with, you know, even with our animals, when we're like, there's this repetitive behavior pattern, we've just kind of gotten into this routine and it just doesn't feel good. It's like, before I, you know, go running back to the veterinarian, which I see this a lot, you know, where a lot of times, even though animal communication is pretty mainstream, it's easy to find on social media. There are even some upcoming, you know, TV programs that are going to focus on it. There's some actual scientific research looking into creating AI for how to talk to dogs, et cetera, et cetera. The reality is most of our clients come to us because we're the last resort. We're like the only thing they haven't tried. And it's the same thing with energy healing. And don't knock it. Like, however you get there is fine. You know, just do your best to get there and just give yourself a chance to experience it. It works great. It doesn't work great. At least you've given yourself a chance to experience a new way. So, you know, we can kind of just, rather than, you know, with many of my clients, and they're like, well, should I go back to the veterinarian? It's like, yeah, if you really think there's a medical problem, go to the veterinarian. But maybe stop for a moment and instead of thinking about it again, just exactly what you just described, just feel. Does it feel like, do I feel like I really need to go back to the veterinarian or the trainer? Or is there something that something else I still haven't acquired? Or do I need to shift inside? Do I need to stop recreating this negative feedback loop with another human or with my animal or with myself in my own mind first? That's the equivalent of making space for something new. It's like, I need to recognize my part. You know, I need to take myself, you know, to take my fight, flight, freeze, tender, befriend system seriously. It really doesn't want to save my life. It really does want to keep me out of harm's way. Thank you for that. But thinking has taken me as far as we can go together. Now I need to start feeling. Now I need to sit down and go, before I overreact, because that's what screaming mass marketplace, that's what the ads on television and the streaming services and all of that want me to do. And even on YouTube,
let me just sit with myself for a minute. Let me just give myself a moment and see if anything new drops in. And a lot of times that's where the Reiki can be really beneficial, because it does, when we come in contact with such a high pure energy, with the energy that we all share in common, that which gives us life, our frequency naturally elevates. We naturally start to breathe a little more easily. If the next time you're tempted to do an impulse habit or make an impulse purchase or make a snap judgment or decision on any level and anything in your life, if we could all just stop first and take a really big, deep breath in and out, we might be able to start shifting and changing a little. It's like, do I really have to choose right now? Is it really that bad? You know, is this really the right time to pull out my credit card? And then if one breath feels good, take another. And it's like the Reiki facilitates that, because it gives us this feeling of, oh my gosh, I feel really good right now. Like, I feel really calm, yet alert and very balanced. I didn't know this was possible. I think I want more of this, you know? And so the Reiki can just help us support us in the direction of our highest good. It's not going to make us do it. It's not going to force us to do it. So if we're looking for somebody to follow us around like a drill sergeant all day screaming at us to make us change, that's not where we're, you know, Reiki isn't probably the best choice. Boot camp, I think, might be appropriate. But if we're looking for just a little extra support and some mentoring and just some good vibes, and just, you know, we're not looking inside out, like, just let me try on a new way of being me for size, just a new energetic sensory experience. Reiki is really good for that. Like, just let me just take a minute, you know, just take 20 minutes and just, for many of us, that feels impossible.
I know. People
but
don't
when
think that.
You, yeah, but when you feel like, okay, take 20 minutes once, just do it once. Notice how you feel. And even more importantly, notice how the rest of your day flows. Do you have more focus? Are you able to be more efficient and effective? Are you able to pick up subtle cues that you would have otherwise missed? Do you get more done? And do you feel better at the end of the day about how everything went? Do you get better sleep that night? Do you wake up the next morning and you just, everything has elevated? So it's like that 20 minutes, it's like investing $20 at 100% rate of return. Wow. And so we can kind of start to shift our mindsets. Like, investing this 20 minutes now is going to pay off at 100% throughout the rest of my day, or depending on what kind of session, what kind of treatment, maybe it's going to linger for days or for weeks. Now I'm rethinking whether I can find the time to add this. You know, when you realize like 20, like 100% return, yeah, it'd be hard for me to not find the time to do this.
No, that would be, you would look forward to it. You would create that time. It wouldn't be like you're sacrificing. Mm-hmm. On that note, let's take a small break and come back. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Ms. Shannon Cutts. And I know that you teach people as well, and you're available for people and for people's pets and for communication. Again, how can people reach you on your website?
AnimalLoveLanguages.com is the best place to reach me. And there's a little button up at the top right that says schedule. And it's easy to access my calendar and just learn a little bit more about what I offer. And when I have classes and workshops, I post those dates as well. So you can learn about that. If you want to join my weekly love letter, it's a little love letter that comes out every Thursday morning. And anyone on that list gets first dibs on new course offerings and workshops and new free tools. I've got a whole wonderful series of free tools designed to help pet parents and their animal loves feel closer together and just relate more easily to one another. And kind of, I'm a big proponent of, let's kind of just forget about species. Let's take our species goggles off and just recognize we're so much more alike than different, and realize that we're always sending and receiving messages with one another all the time. And so I have a series on pet love languages, a series on breath work for better animal communication. I have a whole series, a help guide for the highly sensitive pet parent who is caring for a highly sensitive animal. Wouldn't that be a whole other conversation in its own right? I've got emotional freedom technique, tapping for pets and their people. So lots and lots of lovely free tools you enjoy. And the Let's Talk to Animals podcast is now in its fourth season. We are truly a podcast for all species. One of the most recent episodes, I debriefed with an animal communication client of mine, and we actually talked through what happened during her session with her dog. And so if you're curious about that, that might be something really cool to check out. Would be absolutely honored to answer any questions that you have about pet Reiki and interspecies communication. It's definitely my passion in life. It's something I feel like the time is now. It's the right time. This is, and I truly, truly believe that it's the pathway to save our planet, to heal our world, and to create the equality that we need to make sure that, yeah, Mars is great and sure we can go there and check it out and maybe take a little trip, but let's stay here. It's really nice here and we can do better. So that's kind of, that's where my heart is at in the work that I do. And really am appreciative of all the evolved souls who I cross paths with in this work day to day. Including you. It's just lovely to be back on Living in the Solution. As I'm talking with you, I've got a little lizard who's sitting on our little windowsill right now, just displaying with all of his might, just, and got wrens and cardinals, and you know, this is our world. And we all have the birthright gift of animal communication. If you're interested in becoming attuned and becoming a Reiki practitioner, it's available to all. This is not a school where we go and we study and we learn and we memorize. It's a series of attunements. It's active and immediate. It's a gift that's available to everybody. And so this path is truly open to everyone, regardless of species. And I really want you to know, if you're listening to this right now, that you're invited to the party. This is for you too.
I really, really respect what you do. And, you know, ultimately, you're right. We're all in this world together, and there's more that make us aligned than separate us. And one of the things I love about the animal kingdom is that it's about being authentic. There's no screen. Mm-hmm. There's no, I'm going to be one way for you and another way for that doesn't exist. It's just the facts, just energetically, you meet each other where you are. And I think humans can learn a lot from that, frankly. And from what you described, just from a medical standpoint, when I think of Reiki, I think of being able to live with getting rid of the anxiety and all these things that boost your anxiety, your cortisol, all these neurotransmitters and hormones that basically, from the standpoint of being marketed to, it's designed literally to get a rise out of you and to, you know, stimulate you in a way that's not healthy. Where when you can take a step back by breathing, like you described before the break, you basically break that cycle. So, you know, you can see when someone's trying to get you to do something and you actually have discernment, but you have the time and the space to see it for what it is. Boy, that's empowering.
It's pretty incredible.
It
to
is.
Just realize, and also to just realize, you know, I don't have to form a judgment about that other individual who's screaming at me, mm-hmm. or the ad, or the company, or the physician who thinks that I'm just off in woo-woo land because I work with crystals, or I like to to work with Reiki or I visit the acupuncturist or whatever it is. It's like, I can respect what you do and where you're at and receive value from you and still be my own person and still do my own thing that what feels right to me. And it's really empowering to do this. Like, I don't have to walk around with hate or resentment in my heart. I don't have to go, you're trying to get me to do something bad. You're yelling at me. It's like, no, basically you're probably just trying to feed your family, you know, and your salary and your healthcare. It's all tied together and you've got kids in college. It's like, we can respect one another without agreeing.
Wow.
And without buying in. It's like your job. This is a story I really love that I heard when I was living in India. Every day a monk would come and cross a river to get to wherever he was going that day. And every day there was a scorpion that would fall in the river and was drowning. And every day this monk would reach down and scoop the scorpion up and lift him to safety. And every dang day that scorpion would sting him. And there was a guy sitting on the side of the riverbank and watching this day after day. And finally he said to the monk, I just don't understand. Why are you doing this? The moment you pick that scorpion up, it's going to sting you. And the monk says, well, the scorpion's nature is to sting. If it doesn't change its nature for me, my nature as a monk is to help. Why should I change my nature for it?
Wow.
So it's like we can hold that inside of ourselves. It's like, who am I? My mentor, my kind of ultimate mentor is the Dalai Lama, who said, be kind whenever possible. It is always possible. And we look at his background. We look at how he's able to shake hands with the people that have put him into exile and still smile at them. And we say, you know what? I think I can find, I can find that power within me to still offer respect and still be kind, even if I don't feel like it's returned, because this is about who I am. This is the essence of me. And I feel that Reiki can really support us in that. Even if nobody else in our life supports us, we can support ourselves. And it's just, sometimes it's nice to have a little inner energetic cheering squad to get us through, get us through that time, that inner reorganization, as well. So for me, Reiki is just something that has been empowering for me on every level. And most importantly, it's shown me that there's much more than meets the eye to these beings that we are. And to what is possible to connect heart to heart and spirit to spirit. It's shown me things that I wish everyone could see about. And I believe that one day we will.
I think that's a great place to stop. I think that's a call to action and I think that's empowering. So I want to thank you so much for joining me today. I had a wonderful experience speaking with you. And I want to, ask you at any point, if you want to come back, you're absolutely welcome.
Oh, I would be honored. I love talking with you.
Same here.
Like we're separated by physical miles, but certainly not in the inside.
I absolutely agree with that. So once again, thank you. And thank you everybody for living in the solution.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk Events.